Cutie pie.
Honey bear.
This is such a lovely evening, thank you, boy.
Well, actually, my sweet, I do have one question for you.
Garçon, could I have a menu, please?
One menu for the gentleman.
You!
Who are you?
This is that guy!
Golf radio show?
No, madame. I'm from the Wagstail podcast, the only podcast for Christians interested in the anthropomorphic subculture.
Sounds cool.
No!
To the Wagstail podcast. I'm Levi. I am back after my short trip out of the country. And with me are the usuals. We have Wolfen.
Yay!
Who's excited to be here, and Kale.
Well, hello.
And we have two new people tonight. They are AJ.
Hello.
And Wingy.
Hello.
Yes, we actually have a female on the podcast today.
And she's a human.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very sudden. Clean all the rugs afterwards.
Yes.
A human on a furry podcast.
Slanderous.
Nah. It's an alien.
Yeah.
Yes.
So this week we are continuing the discussion from last week. I know I was not here, but I was able to listen. So. I know something about what was discussed last week. It was, if I'm not mistaken, being faithful in a faithless society. Is that right?
Yep.
Okay. So the idea for this week is to give those of us who were not here last week a chance to give our own input on there. And if anybody wanted to say some more, well, we're just going to continue that topic. So who is going to begin?
I volunteer Kale on Kale's behalf.
Well, of course. Yes. Okay. Well, I already said a pretty fair bit last week, so
yeah.
I guess what I could just do now, I guess just really talk about...
you could summarize.
Yes.
You could recap, yes.
Recapping what I said in the podcast, the last episode, rather, I think I mostly just said things along the lines of being involved in a church family and staying in the Word of God and praying as just the main things, and just staying surrounded with Christians. And I think I talked about a bit of just the aspect of just the highs and lows in the faith and just struggling with yourself and just trying to stay grounded in what you believe when you are faced with faithlessness in your own life and other kinds of temptation. But I guess aside from that, I guess I would like to take a minute just to discuss more of just, I guess, my testimony and how I've really gone through that. I guess most of the time that I've been serious about my faith, I've actually had it pretty easy because I grew up in a Christian home, and I do and did attend church regularly. And really the only, I guess, sort of faithless environment I was kind of stuck in was high school. And that was really only, I guess, about a year and a half of my walk. And then I went to a college where most everybody was Christian, so that wasn't really an issue there. But as far as high school went, even just that year and a half that I was actually serious about my faith, yes, it was very difficult. And, you know, all the kids around me, they're always swearing and, or they were, and, just really just like, I'll hear people talk about like their sex life or something, just really inappropriate things that really shouldn't be discussed anywhere, let alone inside of a school building. But, just really sort of a godless environment for the most part. And it was really just difficult, especially in the beginning, to, you know, not even like when I first rededicated, I still swore like a sailor. And that was really hard to not do because everybody else was doing it. And I was afraid of being different in that regard of choosing to not sit along with everybody else because, you know, just spending most of the day in a class with 30 plus kids who don't believe the way you do and just being really afraid to speak up and stand up for what you believe in. With time, that got a little bit easier. I got involved in the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, which met every morning. No, every Wednesday morning. But just hearing the word in the morning was really encouraging and helped me stand up a little bit more and have a greater desire to not sit along with everybody else. And I became more comfortable over time as I got more involved in my home church and reading the word and praying, that I came to find it was easier to resist the temptation the temptation to act like everybody else. And I think that those three things that I mentioned before I started going on about all this, I think those are just essential to any believer, is just, you know, being involved in the body of Christ and being involved in a relationship with God through reading and prayer. And of course, fasting too, but that's something I struggle with pretty bad.
Yeah.
So I guess that's really just it as far as what I can say. It's hard when you're surrounded by non-believers, but at the same time, if you're grounded in the word and in a solid church or even in a community of believers that are grounded in the word, then you'll find that you have the strength to stand. Whereas if you're not involved in those things and you're not reading and praying, then I don't really see how Christians could manage to stand tall in environments like that without those things.
Right. Let's see. Is there any way to actually follow up on that? You pretty much covered everything.
Well, kind of a remote situation. I hope it's not off key, but I actually had the experience of talking to a friend of mine about gay marriage today, and that was quite mm-hmm. interesting. And I suppose on the topic of being faithful in a faithless society, it's really important to allow yourself to be humbled and really hear the person out for their argument and allow yourself to agree with certain things. If they happen to be like, I personally believe that no matter a person's sexual orientation, you should not abuse or mistreat them. And a stereotype of Christianity I've heard quite often is that we're very abusive to those people. And to me, that disgusts me just as much as pretty much anything else. And I was able to agree with this person I was talking to about I really feel for those people. And I believe it's very important to open that up, to perhaps open up avenues of being able to explain what my philosophy on it is, and developing a similar rapport with the person. So
I would agree that it is important. You're not going to get anybody to listen to you if the first thing out of your mouth is an insult, followed by another insult, followed by arrogance. Yeah. I mean, you don't want to, obviously, like we don't want to compromise what is the truth, but we don't want to be totally stiff about everything. And yeah. If they say something that is true, then yeah, we would. That's a good place. That's a good place for us to start.
Yep.
Right. Okay. So AJ, did you want to say something, or because I just about cut off Wingy a couple times. So do I go ahead and get it out of my system, or do you want to go ahead?
I don't have anything really at the moment. So.
Okay. All right. Kale pretty much covered all the bases, so I'm not going to add anything to what he said, really. Except I'll just take what he said and continue the line of thought a little bit, I suppose. Yeah. So what he actually mentioned: praying, reading the Bible, making sure you are in make sure you fellowship with believers, preferably of the Bible-believing variety, and fasting, although fasting seems to be one of those things that has fallen by the wayside in the past few decades. Those are all very, very important things. Like he mentioned reading one's Bible. I know from experience that is something I almost have to do. If I don't, there is an obvious difference in how I will perceive my surroundings, how I will be, and how good a witness I will be if I do not take the time to engage in the scriptures. Then the whole day turns out terrible.
And on that subject, as someone who is forcing himself to read more of the Bible, and I don't know, I was thinking of the practicalities of getting yourself to read the Bible, as I'm sure all of us would agree it is now and then quite hard to get yourself to start. And what I find is if I can make a commitment to myself to begin reading, it often becomes a lot easier to continue. So
indeed. Once you get into the practice of reading, you will find it becomes a lot easier. I mean, I've been reading my Bible regularly for the past few years, so it's more strange when I don't read than when I do. It's like if I don't read, it's because I fell asleep early or something. Anyway, Kale also mentioned being in a surrounding yourself with Bible-believing Christians. That is easily one of the more important things to do. Because, I mean, if you are alone, yes, I guess technically you could, but you're going to have a lot harder time of it. And besides, we are told to remain with believers, so that's another reason to do it. Hold on just a moment.
On that line of thought, I could admit that it's often a hard thing to do. Does anyone have perhaps a similar experience to me where a lot of friends have actually fallen by the wayside and I've lost a good amount of groups that I interact with that used to be relatively Christian and have completely fallen away except for me?
Far too many. Far too many. Wolf and Kale and I know a few mutually.
It's
caused a good bit of heartbreak in the past few years. It's tough when that happens, and it's tougher when they decide they're going to keep going away from God.
Yeah.
They would rather keep on thumbing their nose at him than come to their senses and return. That is very hard.
Yeah. And so I could say that's quite the struggle for me, as I have particularly less places to go. I mean, I am grounded in a home church, so that is always a very helpful thing.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as friend circles go, it's a lot more difficult than it used to be.
Yeah, I don't have a whole lot of close friends either. None that are local. Well, I can't quite say that. There are a couple.
Yeah, I'm in a
but
similar
it's
boat
a couple.
There. I have one local friend, and who sadly isn't a Christian.
Mm. Yeah, mission field.
Yes, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. As far as having people that I can surround myself with, I don't really have a whole lot of local friends per se. Like, I've got classmates from high school that I could go visit if I so chose, but at the same time, almost none of them are Christian. But I do have a lot of relatives that are really, really strong Christians. Like, both of my aunts are really strong Christians. My grandparents are really strong Christians, and they love talking about Jesus, and just they could go on about it, and I could go on about it with them for hours on end, and it's really mm-hmm. great to have family that you can do that with. And you know, you'd be surprised just how much of an impact it has on you when you've got family that are really serious about their faith.
So you're, yeah, and also you're offering to lead the podcast for the next month and a half. Okay. Well, if you want it, I suppose. I've been blessed to find a church in the area that is Bible believing. I have a couple. I won't say unorthodox views, but some of what I believe is not what you find everywhere. So it's a little bit harder for me. But once you actually find a church that is consistent in what they teach and they actually are teaching the Bible, then it makes a huge, huge difference. And then you wonder why other churches aren't doing the same.
Some people like the idea of having like control over it, so that even if God doesn't move in a service, they have a backup plan, so they don't really need God there. They have it all planned out.
I guess it goes with... Oh, sorry.
I probably shouldn't say this, but you just described every Southern Baptist church that exists.
Yep.
I was raised Southern Baptist, so...
I am so sorry.
I currently go to a Southern Baptist church. I might disagree with you there, but...
Yeah, I think we didn't know, like, the first... Didn't the second question I asked you when you met was, you're from a Southern Baptist church, aren't you? Was it like a really early question that I asked you?
I don't think you specified. I don't recall you specifying which beforehand.
Okay. No, I had that very distinctive feeling. Plus, from your location, it's pretty hard.
Mm-hmm.
You can't throw a rock without hitting a Southern Baptist church.
Around here?
Well, in the U.S. in general, most churches tend to be Southern Baptist.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That sounds a bit fair, considering my zone being a zone where we have a very prolific non-Bible-following church, like blatantly non-Bible-following church, but...
Up here, it's very uncommon, so I've only been in like one Southern Baptist church in my mm-hmm. life.
Yeah.
Everything else is pretty much stereotyping on my part. Yeah.
I currently attend a church that when I give the denomination usually makes people go, "What? It's the Church of the Nazarene."
It sounds like a type of orange.
That would be the Church of the Tangerine.
I want to go there.
Sure.
Maybe that's for all the tourists who go on a tropical vacation.
See, now I'm suddenly thinking of Citrus from the furry fandom going to the Church of the Tangerine.
No,
the Church of the Tangerine.
I'm sorry, but it fits. It makes sense in my sad brain.
We're sorry, audience. We're sorry.
Forgive us, audience.
Yeah.
Whoever you are out there.
At least two of us are a very easily derailed bunch, so you have to put up with us every once in a while.
At least two of us?
At least two of us, yes.
Okay.
Possibly five of us.
Yep.
Perhaps. I'd have to crunch the numbers.
We could just take a survey. We could just take a survey of everyone here.
Okay, so everyone raise your hand.
Only one person has hands.
Yeah.
Yes.
I can raise a paw or two.
Could you raise four?
No.
Then I'd be on my back. That would not work too well.
So what are we being asked to vote on?
I have no idea.
I know is I think I want Ron Paul. I'm not sure aside from that.
We're not voting for president, and you cannot vote for U.S. president, Wolfen.
Why not?
I'm sure
because he's not
decision.
American. I'm sure you'd be a more informed voter than many who are here, but alas, you are not allowed to vote. But we are not talking about politics tonight. We are talking about being faithful in a faithful society, which I think we have pretty much beaten that to death.
But derailing.
Well, the derailing kept us from beating it completely to death. So
now
it's
gotten up. We have to beat it back down again.
We have, what, 7 minutes left? So that's enough time for a quick testimony if anybody wanted to give it related to that topic. Kale, you already did, so you can't go again.
I will know AJ hasn't talked all that much yet.
No, what? I've not.
That's very true. You need to speak. You have something to say. I know it. I'll give you a dog biscuit.
That's okay. You can keep them.
But they're good.
You just give it to me, and we'll be okay.
Okay. No,
you can't. I don't want you to give it to him.
Oh,
yours, not his.
Is that my souvenir for doing the podcast?
Besides, he's getting a
mounted on your wall.
Be very careful, because if you mention that, I actually will send you an engraved bone.
Oh dear. Oh, Lord.
Yeah. Nothing to say, AJ?
I don't know. I guess, you know, just... Well, one of you mentioned, you know, the whole beings... Well, we all kind of mentioned being surrounded by believers and stuff, and how it's kind of, you know, scattered among most of you, I guess. And I kind of, you know, in where I am right now, I'm almost spoiled because, I mean, everybody's so close together. I have, you know, a great deal more Christian friends here than I do people who aren't believers. So, you know, I don't know if that's more beneficial or if, you know, it makes it harder because you're kind of used to being in, you know, a group where, you know, it's just common ground. You're all Christian. And when you get, I guess, in a group of people who aren't believers, it's, you know, almost awkward, and you feel horrible about feeling awkward.
It's a bit of a shock.
It's a paradigm shift.
Mm-hmm. I've made the comment before. I don't think I've made it to any... I might have made it to Wolfen, but to nobody else. There are times when I wonder if being raised in a Christian home, being in church all your life, can actually work to your disadvantage.
Yeah, because you don't quite have that same thrill of being bound and being set free. It's kind of like, yeah. I've always been here, mad, Christianity, boring, blood dragons.
What?
I just included that for no reason.
Okay.
You got my attention.
We have a dragon here, Wolf, and be nice to dragons.
But yeah, I just mean that a lot of people just get kind of bored with what they're brought up with, and they start looking for perhaps things they shouldn't and can get easily led astray because they didn't really discover their salvation or their faith themselves was kind of taught to them. They don't quite have the same amount of belief in it as if it was something that they themselves had chosen and discovered. I guess it's that human rebellious nature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If I may speak, on that subject, I was definitely raised in a very Christian household. And so I have at times wondered about that, especially that specific topic, as it does seem to work to many friends' disadvantages, actually, who are also raised in non-Christian households. However, for me, I feel as if perhaps I'm lucky to be wired this way, but even though I believed at a young age, I feel that I chose it for myself, mm-hmm. and that I did discover it, because I definitely recall a change in my life at the time, even though for goodness sakes, at the time I was 9, I do recall a very dramatic change in my life from that moment onward, and in speaking with friends, I often reference it, so. While I do think it can work to your disadvantage, it definitely enables you to have an advantage as you grow up, if you take it for what it is.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't meaning to say it was universally a disadvantage. I just said there are some.
Oh, it's surely not. I didn't take it at that. I simply wanted to shed light on the opposite.
Mm-hmm. Well. Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing, though. Spinket, it's been good to have you here. Unfortunately, I believe it is about time to start wrapping things up. We have about 2 minutes left.
Yep.
So are there, really quick, for like 30 seconds, do you have any parting comments?
It was nice to be here today. Does that count?
Definitely counts. It's always nice to be here.
Hooray!
It's nice to be here. It's nice to have somebody new. Hopefully you're not scared off.
Not yet.
Hopefully we didn't scare off AJ either.
No, I'm just I'm more of a listener than a talker by far. So yeah. I don't think anything with audio or even video for that matter suits me well. So I'm sorry.
That's all right.
You just absorb knowledge, you don't share.
Yeah.
You're selfish with your knowledge.
Well, I share just when I feel the time comes.
Well, I believe that is all the time we have for the night. Thank you to all of our listeners. I would just like to remind you that if you would like to contact us, we have both an email and a phone number. You can email us at wags@shortmail.me. That is WAGZ@shortmail, shortmail.me.
Zed.
I'm an American. I don't say Zed. Oh. Sorry, Wolfen. But we do ask that you keep messages to 500 characters or less. And if you can leave a voicemail, that's our toll-free number. It's 1-888-858-8853. That is a lot of eights, but I hope you can remember it. And we do listen to and read everything. The best stuff we get is used on the air. I'd like to thank ChristianFurs.net. They are our sponsor. We have a sub-forum where we can discuss current episodes and past episodes if you wish to post on those threads too. So just register and have a look. And you can also visit wagstail.com. That's WAGZTAIL.com for any past episodes. And you can also leave comments on there. Thank you, and I hope you have a good night or a good day or whatever your time happens to be.